the houses that are foreclosed on, while the number of homeless people continue to rise. So what we see here is a bailout, a foreclosure crisis, where banks profit doubly and the community and the people are the ones paying the high cost for it. All over Madison, there are empty houses like this one here. And what you have is homeless people on the outside and an empty house in the inside. Dane County is at an all-time high for foreclosure and homelessness rates. And it's continually rising dramatically. The housing crisis has caused the displacement of vulnerable families. A good landlord who was supportive of the families that he rented to was also displaced by this foreclosure, and the space he had helped create, he lost. We are here to ask the Madison Police Department and the Dane County Sheriff's Office to protect families instead of corporate bailed out banks. We are also demanding that this house and other vacant rental properties owned by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac be turned over to the Community Land Trust so that the vacant land can be used for the community's benefit. Yes. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac specifically have received well over $100 billion in hard-earned tax money in response to the foreclosed crisis. And they continue to keep the properties, and as I mentioned, families are being evicted, children are being kicked out into the streets, mothers are without homes, so on and so forth. I will now introduce Max Rameau, coordinator of the National Take Back the Land movement, to give us some words.
Good afternoon, my name is Max Rameau, and I'm with the Take Back the Land movement. And I'm very happy to be here in Madison and very happy to be in support of Take Back the Land Madison, an incredible organization, an incredible group of people with the organization. During this housing crisis, what we've seen is large numbers of people being moved out of their homes, forced from their homes, forced from the place that they live, the place that they've known, and forced into uncertainty, while the banks, the corporations, places that do not need, entities that do not need homes, have on the other hand been given billions of dollars of our bailout money. The billions of dollars that they received were just didn't materialize out of thin air. They weren't given to them by the wealthy people who run the banks. It was given to the banks by the public. And then the banks used the money that was given to them by the public to finance the evictions of people, of human beings living in these homes. This is a backwards system and a backwards way of doing things. However, since the banks, including Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, have been given public money in order to finance their reckless spending, have been given public money for homes such as this one, in fact, this one in particular, this is not Fannie Mae's house, this is not Freddie Mac's house, this is public housing and should be used as public housing. And we believe that the fundamental purpose of a house, of these four walls and a roof in this society, should be to house human beings, to serve as a home for human beings. The fundamental purpose of this place should not be to serve as a profit center for banks and for other corporations. So we ask the police department here, as well as the other powers that be, to make this place into a home and allow this place to be used into a home. We realize that we're asking a lot when we're asking government officials who got a lot of money from the developers who benefit and from the banks who benefit from having this foreclosure crisis. We're asking a lot of you to actually do something about the crisis. So we're not going that far. All we're saying is don't do anything to stop people who are actually trying to solve the crisis and are actually trying to provide housing for people. Thank you, Take Back the Land Madison. Thank everyone for being here.
Housing is a human right.
That's why we stand and fight.
That's why we stand and fight.
Housing is a human right.
That's why we stand and fight.
People united will never be divided.
People united will never be divided.
Thank you. The people behind me, the group of people that are standing here, are going to get ready to clean this house and to prepare this house. This house has sat empty for almost a year after the previous owner was foreclosed on. Now, the building, which could house two families, is owned by Freddie Mac. Houses like this, when vacant, usually become a trap for illegal activity such as drug use. And these are the types of things that deteriorate our communities. Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, as I mentioned, have received over $140 billion in bailout money. And we are asking people to bail out families and not banks. And now we have Robert McGee speaking, a former resident of this house, is going to speak to some of these issues.
Housing is a human right.
Yes, my name is Robert McGee. I used to live at this property a year ago. We kept this property up, the grass cut, the garbage picked up, the gutters clean. It was in nice, beautiful shape. Now, the house went up under foreclosure last year, which forced us to go to another place. Now the house is being vandalized. Real squatters are squatting in there, vandalizing the house. It's a fire hydrant. Anything can happen to this building. What we are here to do is stop all this here. If somebody gonna live and let a family live in this building to keep this property up, keep the neighborhood safe, and just help out. That's all we asking for. Thank you.
We spoke with the former homeowner yesterday, who is aware that we are on his property and who expressed support for the messages about how foreclosures and vacancies impact low-income communities of color, as well as for community control of land. Units like this one, especially with good landlords who serve as allies to families and communities, have been critical to the fabric of our communities. However, our economic system is stacked against community survival in spaces like this. Now, Dr. Zepps, president of the Darbo Washington Neighborhood Association, will further speak to how foreclosures, evictions, and vacant homes affect all low-income communities of color, like Darbo, here and all over Madison, who bear the burden of this economic crisis.
Welcome. I am Dr. Zepps, the president of Worthington Darbo Neighborhood on the east side of Madison. I'm here today individually to talk to you about something that I've been talking to whoever will listen to me for about 3 years now. I see empty houses in my neighborhood. Last Friday, I drove around the neighborhood and counted 38, and now two more, 40 houses for sale. I searched the internet and found another six listed as either pre-foreclosure or foreclosed that were not part of that 36. And I know about five more single occupancy homes, and there are some other duplex homes that are empty that are not showing up on either for sale or listed as foreclosed. That's out of 827 households. More than half of those are rental and not counted in this. So I have a lot of foreclosed homes, a lot of for sale homes, and a lot of empty homes. I also saw a large number of for rent signs and didn't count those. And to top that off, last year it was pointed out to me that 30 empty units in the apartments all around my neighborhood. That's a lot of empty houses. That's a destabilized neighborhood. More and more people are moving out and getting, more and more families are without housing. Emergency shelters are full. And I can't tell you how many times I have been to who knows how many meetings where we've talked about homelessness, and I say, I've got empty units in my neighborhood. There are only three things that people absolutely have to have in order to survive: food, water, and shelter. And clothing if you live in Wisconsin. Businesses have gotten the better of people. Our government has said it's okay. Housing, food, and pretty soon water are traded as if people are not even in the equation. Well, the big banks, the big corporations, and our government, and the laws that protect them, have it wrong. People do matter in this equation. If you think about it, no one ever really owns a home. You pay the bank over and over and over again, that interest over and over and over again, and they are making the profits of any house sale, regardless of whether you hold the title or not. It'll be sold again and again and again, and the banks will continually make more money on that house. I don't really know the answer to solve that economic model, but I know that there are people who do, and I can't wait to see an economic model in this country where people don't have to beg for housing, beg for food, and look for water. Once that happens, maybe we can concentrate on getting people out of poverty by educating them and providing them the other things that they need to be successful, particularly in a city as wealthy as Madison. So now the city's talking to me. They said to me, your census tract has the highest foreclosure rate in the city. The media calls me up, you all, and tells me that the home values in my census tract dropped the most in this assessment time. Well, duh. I've been talking to the city for 3 years. They say that maybe this year they can help me. Well, great, I will take all the help that I can get, but don't bulldoze those houses like you did in Allied or like they're doing in Detroit. Help me put families in those houses. Help me keep families in those houses. Families need homes now. Families need to stay put. People need to live in a neighborhood to stabilize a neighborhood and let that neighborhood be theirs. And then I got this email from Z about Take Back the Land campaign. Yeah, I got empty houses in my neighborhood.
Stop the evictions! More affordable housing! Stop the evictions! More affordable housing! Stop the evictions! More affordable housing!
Now here to speak, we have Pam Holmes, whose family has been personally affected by this foreclosed crisis.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are one of the richest countries in America, in this whole universe. Why should we have empty houses in this lovely, nice neighborhood? Look at it. I just hate to see the kids running in and out of empty houses. Or you don't know how strangers come in, you can see that they don't have a place to live or they're trying to just have shelter. We need to put people in these houses. Nice families with children, single mothers, or either a husband and wife. This is a shame. So why should we have this? I mean, could anybody tell me? We need to keep our neighborhoods safe. We need to keep America just safe for children. So I'm with this cause. I mean, I was affected with my child. You know, she was on Section 8. It's just some of the rules that you have to go by. She had her baby's dad just to come visit her. And he was in a situation that he was on probation. And then they found that out and they took away her Section 8 voucher for some of that. Some of things that he... It was sad. It's like he couldn't visit his own daughter. So, we need to change a lot of things in this housing stuff. So I don't want to say too much, but I'm with you guys. Thank you.
Next, we have Tracy Benson from Freedom Inc., who will speak as her work with from her perspective in her work as a community worker to talk about the need for real affordable housing.
Stop the evictions! afternoon. My name is Tracy Benson, and I'm the Health Justice Director at Freedom, Inc. I'm here today to speak in support of the Take Back the Land Madison movement and the ending of homelessness in the city of Madison. If you notice, if you look around, there's a lot of renters in this neighborhood. There's a lot of people, families, children, families of color in here. Hardworking families keep jobs, maybe one or two paychecks away from homelessness. And even the middle class is feeling the impacts of the housing crisis, but unfortunately those with the least are the first ones to go. There are many stories that go behind a movement like this and some faces of homelessness that you might not typically recognize. A former teen of mine was a homeless youth, had a lot of violence in her home, Southeast Asian youth. She ended up running away from home or kind of being put out. Bounced around from home to home, ended up staying at a friend's house on a couch, ended up dead from a gunshot accident, found alone with nobody in the basement of the house of her supposed friend that she was staying at. Housing is a human rights issue. It's a health issue for our communities. I used to work in the Wexford Ridge neighborhood as a community organizer, and it was heartbreaking. So many families were coming through, actually fleeing violence in Chicago and Milwaukee, coming through the shelter system, getting placed in Section 8 neighborhoods, where in some cases there were up to 2-3 year waiting lists. There's over a 2-year waiting list for the Section 8 list, and it's often not even taking new names. So, you know, we're in extreme crisis for a lack of affordable and safe quality housing for folks. Had a family that sticks out in my head. She had 5 kids. She ended up getting evicted from the Wexford Ridge neighborhood as a result of a police call that she had made against her abuser. Her and her family were evicted, and she had to choose between the bus shelter to sleep in or a one-night voucher she got from Salvation Army at a motel that had open drug use, open prostitution. And, you know, what is a mother to do when faced with those sorts of choices? You have houses like this that are perfectly good. You have families that care about the property and keep it up, make it a safer place to live. And we firmly believe in housing as a human right. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know some of you are deadline, so we're going to try to speed it up a little bit. My name is Cynthia Lynn, and I'm here to express my support for Take Back the Land Madison and to speak to two things. The first is we need to develop a clear understanding about the driving forces of poverty and homelessness in low-income communities of color, as well as how the current foreclosure crisis is creating an impossible financial situation for low-income renting families. I'm going to directly reference the work of a UW sociologist, Matt Desmond, whom I spoke with earlier today and whose work is reported in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, New York Times, and Chicago Tribune. I have copies if any of you are interested. Desmond's Milwaukee renter study found that 1 in 20 renter-occupied households is evicted each year in Milwaukee. In neighborhoods where blacks are the majority, that number jumps to 1 in 10. This is the first study of its kind nationally, and although we don't have results specifically for Madison, it's telling of the story that also goes on here, but that is unseen by many. According to Desmond, the reasons for these evictions range from domestic violence incidents to layoff and underemployment to unscrupulous landlords. This is exacerbated by the recent housing crisis, which he writes, quote, housing stock will become concentrated in fewer hands. Big landlords will get bigger as smaller ones are squeezed out. Less competition between landlords will decrease housing access and drive up rents, placing poor families already crushed by the high cost of housing in an impossible situation. This is especially so with the history of evictions again. Desmond believes that housing hasn't been central to the national agenda, and anti-poverty initiatives have focused more on work and on welfare. We need to understand the consequences of eviction and understand what the process will do to people, he said. He wrote in an op-ed, Desmond did, to the Chicago Tribune that this high cost of housing for the poor is due to what he calls the Walmartization of urban housing, and it's not inevitable. He writes, and I quote, steps could be taken to prevent it. foreclosed properties could be redistributed to low-income families through interest-free loans. Foreclosure protection could be beefed up for small property owners, and further incentives could be developed to relax banks' grips. At the very least, we need to begin closely monitoring who is buying up foreclosed properties in poor neighborhoods. I would like to take a moment here to note that this is exactly the change that Take Back the Land is fighting for in Madison as well as nationally. Finally, Desmond highlights a difference between Midwestern cities and places like Boston, San Francisco, and New York, where more people of all income levels are renters and connected to the renter struggles. He says in those areas, there are housing rights cultures and tenants' rights organizations and unions. He ends by saying, advocates do a lot, but they can only do so much. Which leads directly to my second point, why direct action? Many people locally have responded saying that they agree with why Take Back the Land is doing what they're doing, but are wondering, isn't there another way? Isn't there another way other than to use direct action to move people into vacant homes? The truth is, here in Madison, Operation Welcome Home has been trying for 3 years to work with city officials to address housing and homelessness issues, only to see their efforts either dismissed or co-opted. In New York City, Mayor Bloomberg raised $20 million to buy up some of the 4,000 vacant condos in 8 city neighborhoods at just below market rate and to turn them into affordable housing. This is a case where a city was convinced to take matters into its own hands and seek solutions to the contradictions of people without homes and homes without people. Bloomberg could not get a single condo owner to take him up on his offer, preferring instead to ride out this economic quote-unquote downturn, which they can afford to do. The thousands of families that are homeless in New York City and millions across the U.S. cannot, unfortunately, afford to wait it out. This is to say, we cannot create solutions by working within the institutional structure that we have to this kind of economic injustice, not without first holding our economic institutions accountable. We also need to hold our communities and ourselves accountable to changing our institutions and our policies so that there are institutionally supported means for ensuring affordable housing in our communities and for enforcing bank accountability around it. The only way to do that is to create community control rather than bank control over land. Thank you very much.
We are now, okay. We live in a city that is often touted as a progressive city. And so I say to you, city, what is progressive about homelessness? Liberal cities liberate homes. We are asking that the police and the powers with the police, the powers that be, turn these homes over to the land trust. Families have been paying the highest cost during this foreclosure crisis. We have seen banks receive billions upon billions and billions of dollars and still be able to keep the properties. They have profit doubly, as we've seen several times over. In addition to that, I would like to bring Reverend Chris Long up to talk a little bit about why we choose the methods that we choose to further our actions.
Housing is a human right.
Housing is a human right.
That's why we stand and fight.
That's why we stand and fight.
I say housing is a human right.
Housing is a human right.
That's why we stand and fight.
That's why we stand and fight.
Good evening. Good afternoon, everyone. Can I get a good afternoon from the media? Good afternoon. My name is Reverend Chris Long, and I am an ordained Unitarian Universalist minister. I work here in Madison in a community outreach ministry on the east side of Madison. Today, I stand in solidarity with Take Back the Land Madison. Woo! Take Back the Land, as you will see, is moving citizens into foreclosed homes so that we can end the issues of homelessness. As a religious leader, I encourage all of Madison, religious leaders, progressives, we need radical activism to stand on the side of love. not just on the side of the unjust, unmoral laws that continue. These unjust, unmoral laws continue to impact citizens of Madison with the greatest needs. I ask, is housing a human right?
Yes.
That's why we stand and fight. Again, I stand with Take Back the Land in a non-violent direct action. Back in April of 1963, one of our nation's greatest leaders of all time, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., wrote in a letter from Birmingham Jail. He was directly addressing the clergy of his day, mostly men, mostly white in Alabama, who were standing on the sidelines. He wrote in his letter from Birmingham Jail, it says, any nonviolent campaign for any, there has to be four basic steps. They are collection of the facts to determine whether injustices are alive. I ask everyone, are injustices alive here in Madison? Yeah. The number two is negotiation. As we've heard from today, folks have been negotiating Operation Welcome Home. Our fearless leaders on the east side have been negotiating for years on end to no avail. The third thing he says, self-purification. It asks us to examine the root causes of homelessness. Is it a crime to be poor in Madison, Wisconsin?
Yes.
Is it a crime to be living with mental health issues and substance abuse issues? It obviously is a crime here in Madison. His fourth point is to ask for direct action. He quoted in 1963, we have gone through all of the steps here in Birmingham. And I say we have gone through all the steps here in Madison, Wisconsin. He goes on to write, you may ask, and I quote, why direct action? Why sit-ins? And today we're saying why move-ins, marches, etc. Isn't negotiation a better path? You are exactly right in your call for negotiation. Indeed, this is the purpose of direct action. Non-violent direct action seeks to create such a crisis and establish such creative tensions that a community that has constantly refused to negotiate for the rights of people is forced to confront the issues, and I say today, of homelessness. It seeks to dramatize the issue that it can no longer be ignored. Can we be ignored anymore? Take back the land, Madison. No. He says, I just referred to the creation of tension as a part of the work of nonviolent resistors. This may sound rather shocking, but I must confess that I'm not afraid of the word tension. I have earnestly worked and preached against violent tension, but there is a type of constructive nonviolent tension that is necessary even in liberal, progressive Madison for growth to happen. I have earnestly worked and preached against it, he says. Just as Socrates felt that it was necessary to create a tension in the mind so that individuals could rise from the bondage of myths and half-truths to the unfettered realm of creative analysis. Do we need creative analysis in Madison, Wisconsin?
Yes.
The people united will never be divided. The people united will never be divided. Let's take back the land, and we're going to open up the afternoon for questions from the media.
Before we get to media questions, we invite all of you to come inside of the house to see the condition that it is in and to see us begin to repair the home. Well, we're going to start cleaning the inside of the house. If you would listen to what I'm saying, we are going to go into the house, and anyone interested in seeing the house can see the house. If not, we will start questions. Did you hear me? I said we're going to go in the house and clean. And if you want to, you can go. If not, we're going to start questions. That's what I said. Questions.
Can you tell us what's going to be happening with the house, what you guys are doing, and is there a family going to be moving in?
Does Let me get the answers team. Who else is answering? Are you? You want to answer with me? Who else is answering? Yep, come on. Cynthia, aren't you?
Okay, thank you very much. We at this point have families that are interested in finding housing. We don't have anybody that's specifically looking for this one right now. Thank you for the question. Yes.
There are several other cities in the United States that are engaged in this type of activity, and a number of those other cities are taking over land in order to garden there. So that's happening all over the United States.
There are some gardens, I think, on Lacey Road. Is that the closest in this neighborhood?
I don't know.
Any other questions?
You don't know? It's just something that you probably want to check out.
Okay, thank you. We can talk about it after.
Yeah.
Other questions?
Have you guys been in touch with the current owner, whether that's a person, a bank? Have you been in touch with them to let them know what you're doing?
The person who last owned this home does know what we are doing and is very supportive of the work that we are doing.
You know who owns the home now?
The owner is currently Freddie Mac, and we have not had a chance to get in touch with them, no.
So, again, you're inside and on a property illegally, like where were we at last week? Can you just confirm that for me?
We are on the property because we believe that the solutions that have allowed banks to leave it abandoned like this and slap a sign on it like this to give the appearance of forward motion is unjust and immoral.
And criminal.
And so we believe that we're trying to create a demonstration of what happens when communities can assert control over land and create positive changes within a neighborhood. We're not going to comment on that at this point. Thank you.
But that already has happened, right?
That's something that we're working on, but we're not going to comment on that at this moment.
Do you think that this is the right way to go about that?
Yes.
Can you elaborate on
that?
Yeah.
I didn't hear the question.
Do we think it's the right way?
Is this the right way to go about?
Yeah, given the state of the housing crisis, and the number of vacant homes that are in Madison as well as in cities all across the United States, we think that this is not only an appropriate way of doing it, but it seems to be the only way that we can do it. We do not have millions of dollars to bribe elected officials with. We don't have millions of dollars to offer jobs to elected officials or their family members. And if we had it, we probably wouldn't use the money that way anyhow. And what we do have are a series of laws that we think are wrong, and therefore we're directly challenging those laws by giving people places to stay. And we do think that's appropriate, and we think that this has happened in many other contexts, both in the United States and other places in the world, and we are applying the exact same principles here. We have unjust laws, and we are directly and clearly and openly breaking those unjust laws as a means of changing them.
And we have, as Reverend Chris Long mentioned before, there have been people for years and upon years who have tried to negotiate with the system and the powers that be to change the housing crisis as we understand it, but nothing has happened, so we are now doing direct action as a form of challenging that power and trying to resolve the issues.
Could someone help us connect the dots between Take Back the Land and Operation Welcome Home? Or is this a branch, or is Operation Action Welcome Home a branch, or how do we connect the dots there?
Take Back the Land is a separate group. It's a separate autonomous group. Operation Welcome Home is a group who has been working with homeless families in the community, and a group that is in support or supports the ideology of Take Back the Land, but they aren't the same group.
But you're both working on this movement too.
Yeah. They're partner groups, yes, that's correct. And then Operation Welcome Home does community education around the same issues that Take Back the Land Madison is doing direct action around.
So you're here in partnership with the two organizations?
Yes, in strong partnership, yes.
Other affordable housing groups in Madison aren't participating in this. Is there, can you react to that? Why, there's support from some groups, but a lot of people are still wary of
it. And you're right that there are support from some groups and some leaders who have been active in the affordable housing movement in Madison. And they've actually been instrumental in helping us identify kind of what are the holes, the gaps in the system that we need to be addressing, while also, working within the system to create opportunities and create change from within. So we're in dialogue with other affordable housing groups in Madison to kind of understand, the different strategies and the different analyses that we can, hopefully move forward with a united front on that.
So different communities handle it different ways, but as a general principle in the Take Back the Land movement, we're trying to do things on three different levels. One is to help the families who are moving into homes. The second is to help the communities into which we're moving those families. And then the third is to build a movement out. So in terms of helping build the community, we have as a general principle that neighbors should be notified, but because this is a controversial and contentious issues, and because you have different entities, including the media, who constantly repeat that it's illegal, then we don't in every instance let the neighbors know exactly the situation of the house. We have had, in the vast majority of the instances where we move people in, the neighbors have been appreciative that a house that was once empty was now going to be filled with a family and filled with a neighbor rather than being left vacant and left alone.
But doesn't that invite neighbors to call police when they see people they don't know moving into a house they know is foreclosed?
Well, that happens all the time. All over the United States, people move into homes and the neighbors don't know who they are. So that does not invite it, because this has happened literally tens of dozens of times throughout the United States, and that's just the ones that we've been, Take Back the Land movement has been involved with, not counting all the other times that has happened in which we have not been involved with, and media has not been, rather the police have not been called.
But you're trying to differentiate yourself between squatters and those who are part of your movement.
That's right.
You want to build a bigger distinction between them and people who use places like this for drugs or other illegal purposes?
Well, we think we're creating that distinction by not using it for drugs and for other illegal purposes. Yes. In fact, we think that the laws here, which support the idea that a bank has a right to keep a home vacant while getting billions of dollars of bailout, is immoral. And housing people, feeding people, clothing people is moral. And therefore, not only what we're doing is not only civil disobedience by disobeying a law, which is immoral, but by housing human beings, we're actually engaged in moral obedience, where we're obeying moral laws. Absolutely. We recognize that. We were as shocked as you were to find that out, that it was illegal to have homes vacant here. Yeah. But we it is illegal, and we think that it's wrong that it's illegal. Just like I feel that it was wrong to have denied me or other people of color a place to sit where we want on the bus or a place to eat where we want inside of a restaurant. All that was illegal, and it was perfectly legal to enslave me or enslave other people of color. So we think that those laws were wrong and immoral, and the people who fought against those laws, who broke those laws, were moral. And we think the people who break these laws are moral as well.
Do you differentiate between a larger corporation or a baseless bank than a foreclosed home that's owned by a local bank or a state bank or even by a property group that may be a foreclosure? Because they're all faceless corporations, and some have received bailout money, some have received smaller amounts of bailout money and paid it back. Do you make distinctions between those different groups?
Yes, we do. We specifically targeted Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, because they received billions of dollars in federal bailout money and they own these properties. We do not target any local banks, we don't target anyone who didn't receive any bailout money, so we make those distinctions. But we specifically target Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac because of the history that they have in regards to the foreclosed crisis and the bailout money.
How soon can someone be moving in here?
I'm sorry?
How soon can this be ready for someone to move in?
We value safety first of the family, so that's why we're specifically not addressing any questions that regards when is a family going to be here, where are the families living, things like that. So we put that first.
And what sort of reaction have you gotten from people right in this immediate neighborhood?
They have spoken at this press conference today. They are out supporting, so we've gotten really good reception.
Thank you. Thank you.
From it.
How were you able to get into the home?
It was open. The back door, I believe, was open.
There's broken glass back there. They broke the sliding door. Somebody else had broken it.
Yeah, we don't damage any property.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Okay. Actually, because you all are not allowed to come onto the property, if you'd like to get pictures from us, we can provide that so you can see the inside of the house, the broken glass, the carpets tore up, all of that, and we'll also be getting video as well. I understand if you are, you don't want to stand the fight with us and stand on the property.
We think it's morally wrong to deny the media access to this house.
Okay, thank you very much all for coming out today.
Thank